Who's dead?
Does that mean he can't live in harmony with the rest of it? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 125. This is the podcast that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian Virgil Earp without a mustache Dunaway.
Hey, we appreciate what you're saying there, a whole bunch, frogs. But I think us snakes and crocodiles can handle this one. I mean, what are you guys going to do? Make the old man croak? Because they're frogs, get it? Whatever, that was funny.
That was funny.
That was funny.
I don't care who you are, that was funny.
Also, well, we'll get to it in a minute. The frogs being the title character in the show, they weren't really the title character. But anyway,
so much.
Also with us, Randy, never wear a turtleneck, drink beer, and operate a boat, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, and Scott. Mm. This week, we learned four things about reptiles. Number one, spiders can crush you to death with moss that weighs thousands and thousands of pounds. Two, iguanas can kill you by pushing bottles off of shelves in a room that you previously might have thought you could just, you know, walk back out of. Three, snakes can fly. And four, spiders are not reptiles.
I was also bothered by the right. copious use of things that were not reptiles or anywhere near the frog family. Finally, rounding us out, Brian, I wish I had Jesse's groceries. I wish that I had Jesse's groceries.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Ibbit.
Just one call can save you 15% or more on car insurance. A second call can tell you how you can make a toxic gas out of five common greenhouse chemicals that's strong enough to kill a man. Then I'll show I'm on C-3PO all of a sudden. Then I'll show you how to disable a record player that's playing imitation John Philip Sousa music.
They're dying, R2! They're dying!
Nice.
Dude, that I almost went with a Geico joke, but I didn't.
Yeah, that was great. Way to go.
Great.
Very, very nice. The movie we're talking about has been on my mind since I saw it when I was like, I don't know. I think I was 10 maybe and saw it on some 10. Friday afternoon movie of the week.
Yeah, this is 1972, so it's an older movie.
Yeah, I'd have been, what, 2 years old when the thing came out, so it was way later that I saw it. But I remember just seeing it on an afternoon, just one of those crappy afternoon movies, and seeing the movie Frogs. And I remember being completely freaked out by it. And I also remember there being a lot more frogs.
I remember there being hundreds. There was only like 20, maybe.
Yeah, you actually, Brian Dunaway actually said that a couple of weeks ago. He said the movie is about like hundreds of frogs overwhelming this compound. And I don't know how that could have been. Most of the ones we saw were toads.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. And they even in the trivia, they talk about carting in a bunch of toads. So a movie's a misleading on a couple of fronts.
Everything.
The front of the poster is a giant frog with a dude's arm hanging out of it,
which is fantastic. I actually love that.
It's so misleading though. And then in the movie itself, and we'll place Fletcher here in a second, so he can synopsize it. But in the movie itself, the frogs act more like the internet or a closed band radio or a freaking ham radio. Right. All they do is just alert other creatures. They stack on top of each other, you know, and face to ass everywhere those frogs went.
That's what frogs actually do. So that's all right.
That's fine. But then all it was is, hey, lizards, there's a dude coming your way, you know?
Right.
That's all they did. Which I don't know.
They organized the whole thing.
Yeah, it was odd.
I like it that it's 1972. This whole episode, I'm going to refer to the 40th anniversary of frogs. That's what we're celebrating.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good point.
We should celebrate that. That's a great idea. All right. Well, it's frogs, and it's Scott Fletcher explaining. Check it out.
Frogs.
Millionaire Ray Milland kicks any animal that moves on his island estate. The slaughter continues, even when his family visits the island. Sam Elliott challenges Milland to mend his ways, but to no avail. That means the swamp critters will have to decide things on their own. For Kermit and Company, it's payback time! Yay! You'll laugh till you croak.
Okay,
Oh, another croak joke. Let's keep it up.
Right.
Fletcher does some sweet Kermit work.
Any chance he wants to bring that out, I love it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The most disappointing part of this movie for me was Sam Elliott with no mustache.
Oh,
dude,
that's
not
weird.
I was born with a mustache. I don't.
I did too.
Can't even imagine him ever being without.
Yeah, it was weird.
I was just, my eyes were really wide open this whole film watching him act.
No, and you know what? Here's the thing. He comes from that, I was telling Ibbot this sometime during the week, comes from the, well, what's his name now? I keep forgetting. I want to say Bruce. What is wrong with me? Smokey and the Bandit. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Burt Reynolds. He comes from that era of actor. They all look like that. They kind of hunky, a little hairy, except the mustache. You know,
Tom Selleck.
Yes,
got the tight blue jeans on.
Yes, it's a category of actor that we don't see anymore.
Guy, yeah. Charles Bronson.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of whatever that is.
So a jeans wearing badass strolls into a film where, you know, he's actually kind of playing a green party photographer, artsy type.
Like, Joe Environmental. Yeah. Ed Begley Jr. would have been better cast in this role.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, does anybody else have a problem with the fact that he wouldn't wear a belt when he tucked in his shirt?
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're hippies, whatever. I mean, that's the other thing. Was when I was a kid and I saw this, I don't remember it being such an overt statement about the environment and how, you know, whatever, the natural habitat of certain animals are mistreated to the point that they all had to band together and fight back. I don't remember any of that. I thought it was just like toxic frog, you
know.
That's
what I remember.
Spreading like zombies and I do remember the very final scene, old man in the wheelchair, the swarm of frogs that came into his house and whatever, that guy. I don't care how crippled you are.
Mr. Crockett.
Right. Gets out of his chair, falls forward, and then is, trampled to death by him anyway?
He has a heart attack. He is a trope, though. Like, he is the guy that you hate from the beginning to the end of the film, and you just wait around for him to get squished the whole film.
Yeah.
But the trope goes a little further. It's not that you hate him and that's it. It's that he is disagreeable.
Oh, he deserves the dot.
Yeah, he digs his own hole.
He's the animal's true target.
Right.
They have to go through all the other people to get to him.
He's Dr. Hammond on. I mean, he didn't die this way, but on Jurassic Park, he's Dr. Hammond. Or not Hammond. Who's the guy that's in charge of the place? Whatever his name is.
Hammond, wasn't it?
The Attenborough guy. Yeah. Was it Hammond? Okay.
Yeah. Why not? Sure.
He's the same character. It's like this sad tale of a dude who's so sure that he's got the right idea. And he has to be old and he has to be curmudgeonly to even pull it off. And then in the end, you're the one that gets screwed.
Right. By the way, his idea is that all of nature should be destroyed so that it can have some peace and quiet.
And enjoy his fake John Philip Sousa music.
Yeah.
Right.
And his, that stuff. What was that about? That was great.
I'm just going to sit here and listen to my war albums.
And I'm going, these grandkids, get off the island, dude. Go do something with your lives.
Can anyone think of a really good example of the asshole who gets it in the end?
Oh, that's good. I don't know, but I like what you said that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That should be the name of the trope.
Of movies, but I don't think that's where you're going.
Born with an asshole, Doris. You don't need Chuck.
Yeah, there you go. Born with an asshole, Doris. I'm trying to think of a good major example. Like,
I think Jurassic Park is absolutely.
Do you put the Emperor in that? Do you put the Emperor in that for Jedi? Yeah,
you're thinking about like where the environment gets him, not the main protagonist, right?
No, right. Yeah, no. This is an asshole the whole film who gets killed in the end, almost by the script, almost like the script came to life and killed him.
Came to life, took the form
of a
frog.
It's more like the lawyer in Jurassic Park. If we're going to go down the Jurassic Park route, you know.
Oh, yeah. The toilet lawyer.
Toilet lawyer, yes.
Yeah, okay. He was on some kid's show. He was on, was it, it's like 3-2-1 Contact or something?
Oh, the Animated Adventures of Toilet Lawyer.
This is kind of, this trope is actually, I think, the plot of most episodes of The Incredible Hulk as you remember it. If you go back and watch it, it's actually not. It's actually a straight drama. But your memory of Incredible Hulk is that he hulks up and kicks the asshole's butt at the end of the film, at the end of the show.
Yeah. I think you see this a lot more in TV plots. I think that's a good point because there's always the jerk rich Texan who just doesn't care about the environment. And, you know,
Wasn't there a Steven Seagal film where he was like Joe Environmental? Was it on Deadly Ground? There's two of them.
No, there was two of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was we saw one, didn't we?
Yeah, we saw one of them, and it wasn't as overt as the other one. But wasn't that – that was part of his deal, right? He was super environmentalist at the time and was like pushing that into his movies. Yes, I seem to remember that. Seems like he had some control over that. But but there was a string of these in the 70s, and I was reading up on some of them, and this still remains maybe the most prominent. But there were other movies where – It was about us mistreating environment stuff. And if anything, the TV adaptation of Swamp Thing is kind of also indicative of that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, they pushed way more in that movie than the comic does toward, oh, it's science gone awry and we've messed with nature and look what happened.
Right, right. 70s brought you frogs and crying American Indian.
Right, though. And maize. Don't forget about maize. We call it maize.
Maize.
What was that corn oil? Yeah.
Was that the commercial? Yeah, I think
yeah. It was the lady. It was the Indian lady who was not very Indian at all, and she would say
tortillas or something.
Yeah, and she'd say, "You call it corn. We call it maize."
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I remember that. Funny. Now that we all hold up our cherry cokes now and say, "This is sweetened by corn. We call it maize." Do we do that? We don't do that.
No, we should though.
I know we should. Everything in us is corn now. So I captured this not from this movie, but just to remind you what did become of this venerable actor.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that.
See that? It's just such a world difference.
Yeah,
you know,
but
it's not just because he's old. He changed. He became. He's
right,
like
exactly.
You know what it's like. It's like Larry the Cable Guy back before he was Larry the Cable Guy.
Right. Okay, you gotta start.
I would say that's a disingenuous accent. That Larry the Cable Guy. I think this is who Sam Elliott is now. You know.
Yeah.
And maybe if anything, he changed himself to be more the action hero in the '70s.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably true. The reverse. Randy, you were going to say.
Larry the Cable Guy, Daniel Whitney, is a piece of crap.
Nice.
He has managed to make one sight gag into a career. He's never made a good movie. Yes, that includes his voice acting in Cars, which sucks. The guy is...
Oh, I liked the first Cars. It was okay.
Unless he does something dramatic with his entire career, he will never reach even close to the height that Sam Elliott had when he was 35 in a film like this. Sam Elliott had to start somewhere. This is where. And I think he was the only person in the film who was doing a good job.
Do you like the fact, though, that Larry the Cable Guy is basically living the same exact life as Ernest? In the Ernest movies, because that's all he's doing now. Like, it's not
totally straight to DVD.
It's not just Cars sequels, dude. It's like straight to DVD of freaking Larry the Cable Guy goes to jail.
Witless protection,
right?
Delta farce.
Oh, that stuff sucks. It's pretty.
But
bad.
You know, please tell me. Please tell me you're reading those from a list and you don't have.
No, I only know three of his movies: Witless Protection, Delta Farce, nice and one. Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector. This is what happens when you go a little too deeply into loving comedy.
No, it's just what I mean is, like, he's not to get off track, but Larry the Cable Guy is not destined for greatness, but there are people I know, and I'm not one of them, all right? So I don't want anyone to confuse me with this, but I know people who think he is the greatest gift we've ever been given by entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Buy every album, go to every concert, buy every stupid movie, all that stuff.
And I'll tell you why, and that is he's willing to set a ceiling right over his head and never go above it.
Yeah.
He's willing to say there are words I'll never use, phrases I'll never use, things I'll never joke about. And that is a whole genre of stand-up that has a huge, huge audience who never want to hear something that's PG-13 or R.
Right. And you know what? He found his niche. Mm-hmm. He's embraced it, and man, he makes money.
Yeah,
so what can you say about
fine.
It? What can you say
and
about
I
it?
I hope I never accidentally go to one of his concerts.
Right. He could quit tomorrow, take off the jeans and the cut off shirt, go back to some slacks and a freaking polo, and who cares?
The awesome thing about being Larry the Cable Guy, or say Michael Anthony from Van Halen, is when you put on normal clothes and take off that baseball cap, you can walk around at the freaking circus and nobody will notice who you are.
Yeah,
sure. Walk around at the circus. That's what I
whatever. Walk around the mall. Go out.
I really want to go to the circus.
Just walking around the circus. What you doing there, boy? You're walking around the circus.
I love the fact that you think circus is the first place a celebrity would go.
I can see Larry the Cable Guy at a carnival, at a cheap like mall parking lot carnival.
It's where Rick Astley went for 20 years, isn't it?
Yep.
Disappeared into a circus. That's awesome. So let's see. Directed by George McCowan. Writers Robert Hutcherson and somebody named Roger Blees. Blees. Stars Ray Milland, who's this guy Milland or whatever. He's the old man, Milland. And he's that guy. Right. That guy's a storied, fabled, well-respected like Western actor and stuff.
Right, yeah. Right. And he's also my IMDb pick.
I would hope he is. Yeah.
No, he has to be your pick of the week.
Have you seen his wink?
Oh yeah, it's good.
That's a deep wink.
It's slightly deep. Disconcerting to look at that man's face. Joan Van Ark back in her kind of hot days.
What kind of cruel parents? So you're the Van Arks. What kind of cruel parents do you have to be to name your daughter Joan?
Right? I think it's awesome. No, seriously, I think it's really, really awesome. It'd be like if I named a kid River or...
It would be like Michael. if your last name was The Red and you named your child Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if your middle name was Full and your last name was Of Shit and your name was River Full of Shit.
Yeah.
Then it would be mean. Right,
I think Joan Van Ark is a great name. But you are kind of destined to be noticed twice when you go to auditions as a young woman when your name is Joan Van Ark.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you have it. There's your cast. Sam Elliott's not really a star at this point. He's never really been. I would never call Sam Elliott a star in the traditional sense, anyway. But you always know who he is. Mm-hmm. You know his voice. You know his mustache. You know if you're going to make a Western, you damn well better put him in it someplace.
Right.
But when you don't, you better have other things to make up for it.
And women find him irresistible even as older he gets.
Oh, I think he's a handsome man. He can be in his 80s with that thing.
If you ever want to make a case for who was the hardest working actor in television in the 70s, Joan Van Ark may be the answer. Look at her IMDb bio.
It's huge.
At the 1970s, she was in every TV series on television at some point or another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She looks a little weird right now.
What was her big one? She was in one of the
Dallas and Not Branding.
Yeah,
Dallas. Yeah.
Let's see what else. She was in.
She's got to be close to one of your IMDb photo picks, though, Brian.
She actually was the first one I did, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to make fun of people who've been in facelifts.
She was on Nip Tuck, and she did a. I remember that episode or episodes.
She's 70.
Yeah, 70-year-old. But here's the problem. This is the problem with plastic surgery. That lasts you like. Let's say you start getting that in your 40s, I guess, some of them.
Right.
So they all start getting like 42, whatever. And then that'll give you like 15 years before you start looking like, I don't know, like this. Michael Myers in a Halloween movie. And you
Have you ever had a hole in a blow up balloon and you try and save it by putting a piece of scotch tape on it? And the rest of the balloon starts getting really wrinkly,
right.
But that part where you've got the scotch tape is kind of sting.
Right. I can see that.
Look, I'm of the Borgnine opinion. I believe you just grow old as gracefully as you can. You yell, got $50, and then you kill over and you're done.
We can talk about this just real quick because we talk about this a lot with aging actors, especially with the movies we review.
Yeah.
But there's a definite double standard between men and women. Growing old gracefully and looking good for men, usually accepted. Growing old gracefully for women, not so much. It's a lot tougher.
It depends on the man, though. Like, go take a look at Mark Hamill, if you would, just for a moment, and tell me how you're feeling about that guy.
Well, he had the necessity of plastic surgery after the accident.
Well, I'm not even counting that, though. Like, he looks... Forget about all that stuff. He just does not look like Mark Hamill anymore.
If you're going to make the case that people in general don't do well when they try to have plastic surgery on their face, men are actually the better examples. You got Mickey Rourke, Kenny Rogers, Burt Reynolds. Oh, my God, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. But can you imagine? I mean, you look at actresses like Jessica Tandy. Can you imagine Jessica Tandy having work done? No. Or who's the one who played McGonagall in the Harry Potter films?
Oh, Maggie Smith. Yeah.
Maggie Smith. Another example. Like, could you? She would not get work if she would have had.
Who played the queen? Who's the British? She's been in a few film sack movies. What's her name? She played the queen.
Yes. Not Helen Mirren.
Harold Mirren. That's who I'm talking about.
It is Helen Mirren.
She continues to just be poised and look great. And she's, as far as I can tell, is not all plasticked up.
Right.
You know,
can I say it seems more sophisticated when English women kind of grow older? To me, in movies, it seems like they can handle it a little bit better.
Like Dame than American Judy women. Dench. But, yeah, yeah.
But I think what you're actually talking about is not an English-American divide, but a drama versus sex and comedy divide.
Maybe
Whenever there's any desire to do sex and comedy stuff, like even in your 40s, what's her name? Cougar Town.
I hate her work because she looks great. Really? She doesn't need it. It's
not Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah, her recent facial plastic demolishment is just like it's just so unfortunate. But she's not doing what the people like Helen Mirren and Maggie Smith are doing. You know, she's trying to stay.
She wants, right.
Looking like she's 30, and they are trying to make awesome dramas for older audiences. You know.
Yeah. It makes me. I'm looking at Courtney Cox now, the before and afters, and it makes me sad.
I did a Google search for that, and like the sixth image or seventh image is Courtney Cox with a foot nose. I guess somebody has like a weird thing with her, and as a weird
like
looking picture.
It really does.
What the crap.
Oh, that's
and then I think some people have facial cosmetic surgery just for the hell of it, like Carrot Top.
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going down a whole different path. You're right. The motivations can't be the same for him. How could they be?
This has been fun. How do we get from frogs to this? I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah,
you
this
know
is
what's
pretty
funny?
Good.
Is with Carrot Top, we kind of are back to frogs, aren't we?
Right. And we made a full circle right around frogs.
Well said. I did want to mention this. Joan Van Ark, I remember this show, and I wish I had copies of all of this, but she played Spider-Woman in the Spider-Woman TV series, a.k.a. Jessica Drew / Spider-Woman. And I saw a bunch of these when I was younger, and I thought they were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was all cartoons, though, was it not? I don't think it was live action. Oh, okay. That was my memory anyway. But she's apparently the voice of the lady. So yeah, and Brian and Randy, you're right. She's her resume is
it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
in
the
70s in particular.
Yeah, in 1969, Sarah Jean Stryker in an episode of freaking Gunsmoke. Like that's how far back this stuff goes.
Right.
Peyton Place. Oh man. Wasn't that like 90210 for their day? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, good job there, Joan Van Ark.
Yeah.
And she looked pretty hot in that one piece
River
boy short bikini thing.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No, nice. I thought she looked fine.
Yeah, she looked great. She looked great in front.
Some of the fashions were a little weird, but.
I was struck by going back to sort of before the sex fear of the 80s.
Yeah.
How there was just a throwaway line about, I was going to come to your room last night, but the floorboards are really creaky and make a lot of noise. And I'm just thinking, wow, that was just so casually divulged.
Sexual. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Back in the day, man. Mm-hmm. When you got a hot Sam Elliott running through your house with no shirt on. Hubba, hubba.
Take any chance you can get. Probably fix those floorboards.
That's right. I mean, the whole time I watched this, it did just make me in the mood for... you know, Tombstone and just things I could see him in where his true nature would be revealed.
His true nature. Like that's really how Sam Elliott is. He likes to kill people for his brother.
Right. Kind of.
He's
Frogs.
Prove us wrong.
Right. The thing I didn't like about this. the thing that really weirded me out about this movie was this Southern gentleman kind of old South kind of thing they had going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so out of date even then.
Mm.
I just
yeah, the kind of you're right. The kind of from my wheelchair, I will command my world.
Right,
there's something about that is an old tropey thing.
I mean,
they don't do now.
Even his music, listen to it, didn't seem like anything where he was in the war. It seemed like he was in the Civil War. I'm like, okay, we don't go that far back, right?
Well, it may have been It could have been World War One. Right. At that stage, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been. Could have, should have, would have. Jeez. Let's see. Many of the 500 Florida frogs and 100 giant South American toads purchased for use for the film escaped during production.
No.
Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Watch out, dude.
I felt like.
go ahead. I'm sorry. All right. Well, okay. It seemed like a lot of the footage that they used anyway. You know, who cares if they got out? They used it basically for B-roll footage. It's just I'm just going to take about 5 minutes of video of the frogs hopping around each other. All right, how about 5 minutes of snake slithering in this pile? Oh, how about, you know, and they never, the only time you ever saw the actors actually interact with them, it was a rubber snake dropping out of a tree on Sam Elliott.
But imagine, Brian, imagine the meeting, the getting near production, end of shooting meeting where they're like, okay, we're doing the scene where the old man falls face down in the house with a bunch of frogs. We're not sure where the frogs went.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, man. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Couldn't they have shot the B-roll footage at a zoo? Like, it just basically stuck the lens through the...
Yeah, just put up a net around your area, wherever you're... Like, you lose the first dozen frogs, you go, oh, you know what? Right. We're going to put up some chicken wire all around this area.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
And at least we can find them.
Yeah.
It very much reminded me of those even older 50s movies where they'd have, you know, a close-up of a lizard or something sucking his tongue out, and he's supposed to be giant, and they would intermix those cut scenes with that. It reminded me a lot of that, and a friend of mine who recently... he watches films, loves films. He was talking about making sure that the continuity of your audio is consistent. It's much more important that your audio be consistent than it is for your video, because you can jump around. But when your audio track jumps up and down, it's really jarring. And it was in this movie. They would cut between, and it was horrible.
Just reminded me of my favorite audio video producer's philosophy, which is the ear doesn't blink.
Right, right.
Ooh. I really like that phrase.
Oh, interesting.
Mind you, I'm having a look at that.
every time I saw an amphibian in this film, it felt like it was a Buffo marinus, the big toads.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but those are 3- and 4-pound creatures. Now, I want you to imagine a 3.5-pound hamburger and tell me how you lose that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. They were during the scenes when the frogs would be in the scene. You could tell that somebody was throwing them from off screen because they would half time they end upside down, and it's like, oh why?
Yeah. I'm surprised PETA wasn't all over some of this business, because you had motorcycles come within, you know, 2 inches of a frog.
All frogs were harmed, right? All frogs were harmed.
Was there a message at the end? I didn't think
No, this was way before that. Okay. There were so many creatures killed in this film.
Yeah.
Oh, there were so many.
Yeah, there was a lot. They had to have been. They had to have been.
I felt so sorry for those iguanas.
Andy Warhol, by the way. He basically gave a small interview or review of this movie in an interview with Fran Lebowitz, and called Frogs, this is Andy Warhol speaking, called Frogs the best bad movie I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Right.
Well, that says something, I suppose, for a guy who takes pictures of big Campbell soup cans and, you know, he was a big deal for a while there.
It was a really good bad movie. There was some things that were just so ridiculous. Some things were so ridiculous that when I was watching it, I thought one thing, and then when I went back and read some of the trivia, I'm like, oh, that's totally different than what I thought, because I did not realize the old man had a heart attack at the end of the film. I thought that he got stomped to death. He didn't. He apparently was supposed to have a heart attack. And the thing that bothered me probably the most was I didn't even know if I could even continue on when they were throwing the peat moss on top of the guy to pee.
No, see, that's when I knew we were in for something great. That's when I knew this was. And in fact, it never quite lived up to that again, because his death was like, great. You know,
you could right now, Brian Dunaway, whatever room you're sitting in right now, you could fill that room from the floor to the ceiling with moss and spiders, and you, Brian Dunaway, would just walk out of the room.
Right,
you'd be a little creeped out.
But you just walk right out of the room, right.
And you also wouldn't impede you. Yeah, and you also wouldn't be dumping the actual peat moss on yourself, which is what that guy was doing.
Right, and the moss was supposed to represent spider webbing.
Right,
that's what I'm thinking.
Tarantulas,
I guess.
But then they actually did have spider webbing, kind of
layering
down on them.
Yeah, yeah. But then, so I see that scene, and I think, ooh, if all the other deaths are this cool and dumb, by cool I mean dumb, then this is going to be the best movie ever. And they did what Jason X did, if you'll remember. Jason X had that awesome death scene. The first death was chick had her face pushed into the liquid nitrogen, and then it shattered. And that was like, all right, if that's what we're in for here, this is going to be the best Jason movie ever made. And then every other death was less than that.
Right. You set your bar too high too soon, baby.
Yeah.
Back down a little bit.
Yeah. That I found that to be slightly irritating that was the case.
Right.
What else? Originally, here's one for you. Iris Martindale. She's the old lady, the wife. Yeah. Yeah. Completely out of it. She's a trope in her own right. But anyway, she had, it says here, she had a much more humorous demise scripted than what they actually ended up doing. Now, I read that, and I read this before I saw the movie, and now after seeing the movie, I think they're wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that she, either way, she was going to die in a funny way. So what was supposed to happen is she was supposed to be lured into quicksand, a big pit of quicksand by butterflies, and then she was just going to drown in that scene. The scene was shot. It was deemed too silly for the film. The scene was reshot, according to this, to have Iris killed by a rattlesnake instead. Clips of the original death scene can still be seen in the film's trailer, but they ended up having her die by this rattlesnake. Now, I don't know about you guys. It seemed way more ridiculous than a quicksand scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing where you're in a greenhouse and their iguanas have gotten in there. And those really, really slow creatures, by the way, this isn't the most ridiculous death. I'm going with the second most.
Right.
Really slow creatures managed to somehow kill somebody who could have just, again, walked out of the room.
Right, and they're just high-fiving those poison bottles. And
yeah. Right.
You got it. Stupid, dude. Yeah.
I wonder how long it took to film that, because that's really hard.
With that great music the whole time. Oh, yeah. What a piece of shite.
I wouldn't be surprised if they used a little piece of string and tied it on the leg of the other side of the iguana, just pulled the creature toward the ball.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You are on to that. That is exactly what they had to have done. Because there's no way. I mean, whatever. No. There's all practical effects, which is in its own way kind of fun. But this lady who died, this is the part that bothered me. It wasn't so much that it was funny, but when she got hit with that rattlesnake, instant death.
Right, mm-hmm. Into the face. Instant death. Rattlesnake, instant death.
And also, apparently, the snakes pour blue paint all over you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Right?
Yeah, were you unaware of that? It's a blue, kind of pale.
Yeah. So they can see you.
This is a really odd swamp that has a desert reptile.
They're tagging the humans of it.
That's right, exactly.
There's one we got to get.
Blue one's mine.
Somebody tell the frogs. I got to let the next bugs up the road know what's going on.
I think that was the point. When that happened, when she got killed by the snake, I was like, wait. We can get killed by the snakes. I'm like, then why is anybody else even bothering? Why is any other swamp creatures even stepping up? I mean, we got snakes.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They can do the whole job in like 5 minutes.
And then the snakes just go away. Like they're like, we did our job, because in that exact same spot, her husband comes along and gets killed by alligators. The alligators are like, well, this is a good place for killing. Right. We're gonna park here and wait to kill somebody else. And the snakes just go, I guess they go back to wherever they came from. I don't know.
Laziest snakes ever.
Yeah, they don't do much. So I just want to make sure that we touch on this real quick. The poster with the giant frog and the guy's arm hanging out of it. Right. If you do that, it's the equivalent today, if we're going to go see Nolan's third Batman movie, Rise of the Dark Knight, and the poster for that film shows Batman on the ground and the Joker above him with a switchblade.
Right.
That would be unfair to us as moviegoers, because we'd get in there and we'd find out the Joker's nowhere near this thing that was just used to sell it.
Okay, go with something that was actually in the film. Go with Scarecrow. He was actually in the film.
Okay, sure. Okay, good point. Say that Scarecrow's got his hood on and he's standing over Batman with, I don't know, poison or something.
Right.
Oh, Scarecrow's in it?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I like that you spoiled it for me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good point. You may have just spoiled that for somebody. I don't know. It's not really a spoiler the way they do it.
No, it's not at all.
In fact, you doing that as a joke is almost like what frogs did for Sirius.
Yeah.
Is they're saying, oh, look, a giant frog with the guy's arm. It must be Attack of the Giant Frogs, which sounds great on paper. And then you walk in there and you're like, dude, these frogs, not only were they not big, they were just stupid. Yeah, like, they didn't do anything. And can you do that? You can't even do that today. Yeah. If you're going to theatrically release something through a major studio, you can't get away with that. Or can you? Are they doing this now? And I just don't know. I mean, trailers, are trailers our modern day equivalent of overselling the product? Probably.
Absolutely.
You know, like I've seen, what did I just see a trailer for? Oh, I'm totally stoked for it. Atlas?
No, Thought Atlas.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen that. I haven't read the book, and I don't know about the source material at all, so I have no idea, but I hear there are people who love that stuff, and I'm sure it's good. That trailer, which is like 3.5 minutes long, is awesome.
It's fantastic.
I don't know what's going on. I just can't wait to soak it in and let's do it. It sounds fantastic. It reminds me of The Fountain. Maybe a fountain that, that the rest, that everybody except crazy people can see, I suppose, because The Fountain was weird. And so I'm really excited about it, but always in the back of my head is like, are they overselling it to me? Like, did they, like in Inception, this is a small example, but in Inception they had that blah music, and that was never in the film. But there
was in Lost. Yeah.
Yeah. And it became synonymous though with Inception, to the point that if I hear that at all or come anywhere near hearing something like that, I think of Inception, even though it's just a trailer and it's not accurate, blah, blah, blah. I just have to think that today's equivalent of frogs with a guy's arm hanging out is what we do at trailers. It'd have to be, because we've moved on. Posters don't do it anymore.
I'd be totally ticked if I watched Anaconda and they all got killed by a bunch of rattlesnakes. I'd be
little
pieced.
Ones? Like little rattlesnakes?
I'd be pieced. I'm here to see a giant snake.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Right.
When are we going to see that one with the giant scorpions in the desert? What's that called?
Scorpions. Scorpions! Is this a scorpion? Point. No, I don't day. Know.
We got to get that one, you guys.
Isn't that one of the – there was an actual separate movie? I thought that was one of the Harryhausen bits from
you're right. That is in – that's in Titans, the original Titans. Yeah.
Right.
But I'm thinking of one where it's like 50s black and white. Or maybe it's spiders. Crap.
There is a spider one. Yeah. There's one with a tarantula that is called Tarantula with an exclamation point.
Oh, and it's so big. It's like as big as a mountain, right? Just a huge tarantula. It's just like giant. 400-foot spiders, right? Am I remembering that right? Okay.
I wish you hadn't brought up the topic of worst movie posters.
Well, give me a good one. What do you hate?
I was looking for one, and I went to Google, and I was like, what was that poster? And I'm typing in worst movie posters. Come right to the poster for Human Centipede 2, and it just ruined my day.
Oh, Human Centipede 2 has a bad poster? Hold on.
Yeah, you don't want to see it. No,
I've seen
it.
I've seen the movie. It's the stupidest movie ever made. Everybody thinks Human Centipede 2 is the ultimate in human degradation, something blah, blah, shock. It's not. It's just dumb. It's dumb. The first movie had some shock, had some, like, twist and just gross. This
the poster,
one, dumb.
The poster has a close-in black and white shot of a woman's midsection, and she's naked, and there's a centipede right over her. Mm-hmm.
Oh, oh, that's new. I haven't seen that. I've seen just the one where all the people are all connected.
Oh, you're talking about the one that looks like a big old orgy.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yes. Like an orgy in Dracula's basement is the one I'm thinking of. By the way, coming soon on FilmSack, orgy in Dracula's basement.
I am so mad at myself for even bringing this up. I just desperately want to talk about something else.
I want to look at all these, though. Like Total Film has a good list.
Now, here's an interesting piece of trivia about frogs.
All right.
I'm reading this to you. We'll read this to you right from Wikipedia.
Go for it.
Sam Elliott has two beefcake scenes in the film in which he removes his shirt, and these scenes reportedly help him earn the title role in the 1976 movie Lifeguard.
Oh, hey.
Right. Yeah. Raise your hand if you've seen Lifeguard.
I want to watch it now. I want to watch Lifeguard.
I wouldn't mind seeing Lifeguard. I wouldn't mind having a whole tear of Sam Elliott films.
Mustache then?
He does have his mustache in that one. Yeah.
Wow. See?
Just found the movie poster for that one.
Oh, look at that.
And he looks like a lifeguard.
A lifeguard with a mustache? That's weird.
Yeah.
He's wearing the Baywatch red shorts.
He looks
Ann
like,
Archer.
He looks like John Holmes, dude.
It's got Ann Archer, Kathleen Quinlan.
Yeah. I'm in.
George Wallace.
I'm in. Ooh, George Wallace. The comedian?
Yeah, must be.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it must not be because it's does not have a picture of him.
Oh. He's a black comedian I know as George Wallace. He's always on Letterman. He's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I.
You know who he is.
I totally know who he is. Well, maybe it is. It's weird. It's like, oh, no, he died in 2005.
Oh, okay.
At the age of 88. That's definitely not the same guy. Him.
Yeah. That guy's still working in Vegas. I saw signs down there last time we were there.
They got a picture of him with Bullhorn.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry to say Lifeguard is not streaming. However, The Surfer King was suggested to me when I searched Lifeguard. It's like, that's not streaming, but you might want to watch this movie with Bernard Murray Jr., Randy Wayne, Alan Thick. I have no idea.
Alan Thick. Woo!
The Surfer King is
okay. What Alan Thick, finally bringing it. Forget about, as a note I took during the movie, forget about Kirk and Uhura. Check out the interracial fun on display in this here Frogs movie. That was pretty hot for the time. And nobody's even making mention of it. I'm thinking to myself, stodgy old racist man in a wheelchair. He ain't letting no colored people on the island. That kind of thing,
right,
you know?
Right.
And there wasn't any of that. It was actually pretty open and cool. Like,
hey, but in the end, Mr. Crockett was a dick to them.
Yeah.
A total dick to the servants. And you're left wondering, what did they do? Where'd they go? How'd they escape?
Yeah, they knew. Well, yeah, we never got an answer with those two.
Oh, right. Yeah, they just screamed at the stuff of the chandelier and then, okay, I'm leaving.
They were never on a boat.
Well, they did go across the boat, and they got to the other side. And yeah, they got to the other side, and they left, and the birds came down. Remember?
But not the servant people, did they?
That's where the servant people were leaving. They all went off. And
so they got over to Jesse's Groceries.
And they all died, apparently.
Okay, fair enough.
According to their bags and everything that were on the ground, the birds must have carried them away.
Great. So another very plausible moment in the movie. With birds.
Right.
Birds? It's not even the same genus. What are we doing?
No, and birds eat frogs, so what the hell?
I know. Right, frogs are like, hey, you guys, I know we're usually enemies, but ribbit, ribbit. Okay, we'll kill for you.
Yeah.
We'll
all right, so let's get on to the...
How come nobody's brought up The Happening yet?
I still haven't seen The Happening.
There's your nature versus man movie.
Still haven't seen it.
Really?
Nope. I went on this... I got on this... tear for a while where I just wouldn't watch Shyamalan movies so that I wouldn't be disappointed in him because I really like his early work, and it just I didn't want to be disappointed. I stopped. I still haven't seen The Village, so I stopped after
I would like to sit and watch it with you. In fact, here's what I'll do. I'm going to drive out to Las Vegas in a few days when you're there, and I'm going to bring a Blu-ray player and The Village.
All right, let's do
it. I'm going to have a screening.
Okay, we'll just watch The Village. So it's not that has universal hatred or anything, but that's when you started to see the paint crack on his stuff, right? Like after Signs, it got weird, and it got weirder and weirder and worse, and now we're left with Airbender and nothing else, and we don't know what to do with ourselves. Well, I don't want to feel that way. I love Sixth Sense. I think that Unbreakable is still one of the best movies ever made, and I don't want to be. Signs was fun. I don't want to be disappointed.
I think Lady in the Water was pretty decent.
Which one? I didn't see that either.
He just said he didn't see anything after Signs.
Signs, yeah.
So are you waiting then? Like, are you like, I like Night Shyamalan, or at least I used to, and I'm prepared to like him again, but I'm going to wait for someone to convince me that, like, let's say he's working on this movie called After Earth.
I like him, and I don't want to see something that makes me not like his vibe. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not disappointed in him because I haven't seen anything to be disappointed in. I've just actively avoided them so that I would flee from that disappointment. That's
After Earth, by the way, his next big film, stars Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
Whoa.
Wow.
In the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving on up. What's that? Look, I miss.
Passed away this week.
I miss Sherman Hemsley. I think he was great. Anyway.
But he got
You know what's weird? Is when a comedian like Sherman Hemsley is completely and permanently bound to another actor, actress in this case, for the rest of his career, I guess, right?
Hey, Wheezy?
Isabel Sanford and Sherman Hemsley always go together, always.
Yeah, so I watched Amen for a while, and he was okay on his own. Except she wasn't in that too, was she? That'd be funny if they were both in that. She might have been. That was the thing to do for a while. It's the Dangerous Creatures.
She wasn't on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I forgot about that.
All right. What else is going on? I think this movie took too long to have anything happen. That's a complaint I have about a lot of older horror movies, is just takes too long. There's all this foreshadowing, looking at frogs' faces 50 times in a row. Oh. That movie took 3/4 to get done before we even got our first death. I don't like that. Get to it quick. Start killing right away.
Right. Let's do it.
I gotta
give it a little credit here. Like, I was watching the whole film. I had a hard time looking away. I couldn't wait for the next thing and the next thing. And they got me there by showing weird crap between scenes of acting.
Did you laugh when the old lady Iris was out running around and a piece of moss went around her neck for a second and she acted like she was dying and then realized, I can just keep walking?
Absolutely.
That made me choke on whatever I was drinking. That was pretty funny. Also, my wife informs me she thinks this movie might be the reason, other than she grew up in the swamps of Mississippi, well, not literally, but near them. She thinks this movie might be the reason she hates snakes and spiders, because she saw it when she was a kid and she never quite got over it. Yeah. And even Nick sat here, stood next to me. He's 12 now, sat here next to me watching the scene with the guys getting covered in spiders and moss, the dumb one. And even he was like, oh, dad, ugh. He didn't. I mean, it's just, I think it does play on your gross out senses a little bit.
Right.
And she thinks that her whole hatred of those kinds of animals has come from that, from this movie.
Right.
The Jim Stafford song, Spiders and Snakes, came after his first little hit, which was called Swamp Witch, both of which followed this film.
Whoa. Weird.
Oh, really?
I don't know if there was an influence there, but Jim Stafford may have been a Frogs fan.
All right. How come, one last question. How come the old man kept checking the phone again? Everybody knew that phone was out.
Oh, yeah. Pick it up. Click.
Yeah, that's still out.
It's the trope of you don't just pick up the phone and listen for the dial tone. You have to tap the button constantly. And anyone who's ever had one of those phones knows that even if the phone's working, even if the phone's working, if you tap the plunger, click, you're going to get it to where you don't hear a damn thing.
Right.
I'm going to give you, that deserves a trope file because that's pretty stupid. And the fact that he just checked it one last time, he's in the dark, he's going to fall out of his wheelchair any minute. He's listening to the worst discordant music I've ever heard.
You
think the frogs bit the phone cable?
That's what I was wondering. I'm like,
you think the snake? Like, so obviously one of the bits of nature. Maybe it had a lot of Spanish moss on it and broke the signal.
Ribbit. Hey, moss, go wrap yourself around that phone cord.
I kind of wish it was the alligator. Like, I'd like to see an alligator climbing a telephone pole, right?
Death roll.
They could have put that in this film.
Yeah. It just made it comedic because all of those things were just like, really? The animals? Really? And they've just decided collectively to fight back. I mean, I can't even get a good nature message. Like, the message they were trying to teach us.
Right.
Lost. Gone. Because it's too dumb. You know?
They came along and tried to give you a little bit of an idea that there was sort of rampant toxic polluting going on.
Yeah.
Like at the very beginning.
Like maybe they mutated.
They didn't find any really good examples of this.
No. Yeah.
Like they just showed some runoff from somebody's toilet, you know, some toilet pipe going into the river, and Sam Elliott's in a canoe, and canoes are better than toxic waste or something.
Right.
And that's it. You never really given anything else to chew on.
Yeah. And then what was it? Why he didn't know those people before they hit him with the boat, right?
No.
Okay. Right. All right. I couldn't remember if there was
any accident. Hit him with the boat. He just kind of came here, and Sam Elliott
turned at the last second.
Like, so dramatic.
Because he sure hung out with those people for a long time after he met him.
Boy.
You know,
they sure were heavy-handed too about the whole. I'm drinking a beer and driving a boat. Drinking a beer, see the beer, everybody. Look, I'm drinking a beer,
driving a boat.
I did really like the quick turnover in the canoe when that boat almost hit him.
Oh yeah,
and he turned that canoe over just like a freaking wizard.
And he knew that he knew. Yeah, that seemed like a Boy Scout move. Like he'd been trained. He knew what to do. All right,
I was mostly just disturbed by Clint's love for his sister, including all the way down to his. I went down to the picture of her in his room in her cheerleading
uniform.
That was
a little weird.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Nature needs to destroy them.
Well, it's the South, dude. It's the South.
That's it. All of the reptiles and it's not even all. They're not reptiles. There's amphibians. They're chordates. No, wait. They're not all chordates because they're spiders. Damn it.
Yep. The minute I met the drinking brother, I went, I wonder when you're going to die, because he's one of those guys, right? Yeah. Never going to live much longer. You're
pretty
out
much
of there.
Everyone did, right?
Everybody but Joan Van Ark got out.
Right. So it's a typical horror movie trope, right? Where only the good survive.
Yeah. Sam Elliott, that was it.
There's kind of a foreshadowing that maybe it went even a lot further than what they think. So they're kind of like at the end, you don't really know what the rest of the world experienced.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's kind of a cool idea.
Mm. Right.
28 the weeks frogs. Later, you know, like how far have these frogs gone and what have they wrought?
The map with the red area slowly creeping further and further out. Slowly.
The final scene. Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the creepiest scenes they're talking about slow is when that turtle kills that lady. That scares the crap out of me.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. I forgot about the turtle. Remind me.
Definitely worst death in the film.
I can't even remember what the turtle did.
Lady's trying to get away. There's not a boat. She ends up trying to swim, and a freaking snapping turtle in the water, is approaching her at turtle swimming speed, and she starts screaming, and that's it. And I just want to – I just have to point out, a snapping turtle will hurt you. Like I've seen a snapping turtle bite. It's amazing. Unless you're holding on to the back of its shell, it can reach anywhere you're touching it.
And fast, too. They're super fast once they bite. But
the reason they're so vicious on land is because they got their feet planted.
Yeah.
Or you're trying to hold them. So they've got leverage because you're holding on to them. In the water, no.
Yeah.
You're in the water. What's it going to do?
Did you see the actress? Did you see the actress like step back two steps when the turtle started coming towards her? Because she's supposed to be stuck in the mud.
Right.
That's the idea.
Right.
And she actually stepped back and then she like went back. It was almost like she was trying to pivot while playing basketball and pretending like she didn't do it. I'm just kidding.
No, there was like, a lot of that going on in lots of muddy places where people get their footing wrong and then stumble. Right. Like, oh, you guys, for living in the swamp, you people are terrible at this. But if you're looking at a turtle in the water, unless you're really paying attention, it's hard to discern if it's even moving. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, they're so slow. That was stupid. And then when he found her, it had, like, clothes in its mouth. Oh, man.
They used a nice big snapping turtle. Like, if you were a catfish or something, you might be in trouble. But just, God, that was, that scene, I actually closed my eyes for a minute and took a deep breath. That scene upset me so much.
Yeah. Well, probably scares you to know that snapping turtle's roaming somewhere around. Right.
That's pretty scary. All right, let's get to some clips from the movie Frogs. And we got a few here. Here is that weird, dumb intro sound, or not intro, but the music sound. It wasn't music even. Just anytime they'd show a reptile or a frog, they would do this. I learned to hate that, dude.
Oh, I did too. It was horrible.
You could have played a montage about 5 minutes.
Oh, I know. I didn't want to get too much of it because it seriously drove me crazy. I didn't like.
At least they played frog noises when they showed frogs. You know, whenever they show spiders or snakes in movies, they always have to do that. Right. Even just slithering around, a snake is still going to make that noise. Like, you know.
Yep. I think later here, I actually captured the sound of what was supposed to be a lizard. But it doesn't sound like a lizard at all. Oh, no! What, you know what it was? It was a stuffed fish. So if you remember, you remember that scene where he's freaking out and looking all over the place in his den and all the, and they have animal sounds for all the stuffed heads he's mounted and it's right. the big message, right? And they're doing meh, moo, you know, whatever it is.
Right,
all right.
Right.
There were no sheep or cows, but still.
Yeah, no. It's
but they played those sounds.
Yeah, right. But then they get to a stuffed fish and I just imagine the look on their face like, oh, shit, you guys, we don't know what a fish sounds like, stuffed or otherwise. So I have that later. Just hang in there because that's pretty funny.
Perfect.
All right, here's pulling the drunk dude in.
Oh, am I glad you're not hurt. Those canoes aren't very stable. It was just one of those things.
Joan Van Ark having a good laugh. You dumb ass.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
You're doing this.
Trying to do
something. I don't know about you. I take comfort in that.
Here is, old guy in the wheelchair.
Damn it, Stuart. Get down there and find out what the devil's going on.
Damn it, Stuart.
Poor Stuart.
Yeah. Who was Stuart? His son?
No. He was some lackey. Right? Yeah. He was some lackey manservant.
You know, this could have been called Thurston Howell the movie. They're all that guy with the sweater hanging around your neck and tennis brackets or badminton in your hand and just that.
Right.
That whole thing.
You know, it was, I mean, Randy was talking about earlier about his favorite death or his worst, his least favorite death. I think guy who was running, I think was it the manservant who was running or was it one of the brothers who was running and tripped and shot himself in the leg?
It was one of the brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the brothers.
That's the Moss guy. Yeah.
Was that the Moss guy, too?
Yeah, because he fell down, and that's what incapacitated him be killed by the Spanish Moss.
I literally just rolled when that happened because it was so unexpected because you're rolling along, and all of a sudden he just trips and shoots himself in the leg.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Let's see what else we got here. We got some more. How about check out Sam Elliott saying something short.
Really, I don't want to intrude.
See, that ain't him, dude.
Mm.
Really, I don't want to intrude.
That's just not. Yeah,
it's
that's
still
not,
the nasal.
Yeah, you know, it's in there. You can hear it. But.
Yeah, he's just not there yet. Yeah. He hasn't found his voice.
Here's a clip called "They Are Everywhere." 14 seconds.
I'm doing a pollution layout for an ecology magazine.
Take any pictures of frogs lately? I saw the biggest bullfrog this morning. This big, damn creatures are everywhere. coke all night.
Well, you know I sent Grover out to take care of that.
Well, you shouldn't send a Muppet to do a man's work.
Me no find. Giant frog.
Wait a minute, that's Cookie frog. Monster. You guys got your blue monsters mixed up. That guy was a terrible actor. Just putting that out there.
Sound like Gilligan a little bit there.
Yeah, let me isolated some of it. Let's see.
I saw the biggest bullfrog this morning.
He did. He sounds like Bob Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was kind of a leftover of how some people acted during 50s and 60s in those TV shows. It's kind of that acting.
Yeah. Yeah, very much Gilligan's Island. Holy crap.
I was kind of confused. You saw this huge bullfrog, and I'm waiting to hear about lunch. Like, that's right. Good eating. If it was a really big bullfrog, you want to catch that sucker.
Yeah, the legs are good. I have had bullfrog, and it's not bad. It's all right. It's okay. I had squirrel once. That was all right.
Yeah, well, would you just wait until they come to your house and they jump all over you?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I'll make sure to have a moment where I'm worried about all my stuffed head animals on the wall.
Interrupting my patriotic music.
I'm trembling in my flip-flops.
You should be. Let's see. Caught you looking at what? What did I write here? I don't even know what this is here.
Foxy.
Perfect timing, pal. Caught you looking at my jersey, didn't I?
Oh, caught you looking at my jersey.
That's when he's shirtless in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Caught and he comes by and he's patting him on the belly. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Yeah, that movie had some weird undertones. Stuff really? Like that, yeah. That weirded me out. All right, quite the jock.
Looks like you were quite a jock.
I just like that.
Thank you.
Looks like you were quite a jock.
Looks like you're quite a jock.
It's because I walk around with my towel uncomfortably even when friends are here or people. Mr. Smith.
It ain't right, Wyatt. People are dying around here, Wyatt. Oh, man. Let's go watch Tombstone. Forget this. Let's see. Weird music effect again. Dude, why are we tolerating that? How was that even allowed to get to print? That's so bad. So bad.
That's the kind of noise I'd make right before I throw out a cassette tape.
Yeah.
Right.
trying to figure out how you would even make that noise.
Yeah, what is this? It's just your... Is that just like keyboard modulators?
Exactly. Yeah. It's electronic.
That's back when people figured out that. Yeah, the Moogs were all the rage, and everybody was like, well, look what you can do. And movies...
If I turn this knob... Blah, 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 blah.
movies suffered as a result. Let's see. What if he's lying in a ditch?
Daddy, what if Grover's lying in a ditch somewhere? I hope he's not hurt.
Save him right if he is.
Wow.
Right? Love it.
I also love this subservient wife that calls her husband daddy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Daddy.
Yeah, Tina's grandparents used to do that.
Call each other mother and father and that kind of thing.
Yes.
That's weird. I don't like that. I told you what. So Kim comes from the South, and she's got the long tradition down there of, you know, Mama or Mima and Ponka and these kinds of names. So Kim's parents are known to the grad kids as Mima and Ponka. Somebody was asking around some big dinner table, what do you guys want to be called when you're old? And Kim came up with, Pam Pam and Gizmo.
Pam Pam and Gizmo.
She wants to be called Gizmo. I'm like
the,
what?
Like the gremlins?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
I should dump water on her, see what happens. Ooh, gremlins. Why haven't we seen that yet? All right. Let's see. How about this one? It's not normal, Mr. Crockett is the name of the clip.
Frogs attacking windows. Snakes and chandeliers. Those aren't exactly normal things, Mr. Crockett.
Really?
Well, they're not that weird either. I mean, come on.
If a snake got in the house.
You live in the.
Sure,
you live
easily go up in the chandelier.
Well, the chandelier would be a thing it would go for. Although, how did it get there? I don't know how it got there.
Mm-hmm. All I got to say.
Scaled the wall. Right. Then somehow did the ceiling. Like, probably grabbed onto one end of the staircase and swung back and forth until it could grab the banister with its mouth.
Hover snake. Hover snake.
Let's see, man, the one of the problems with this movie for me was when I started looking at the story. So you have this stranger, Mr. Smith, who comes into your house and you suspect that it's the animals that are trying to kill you immediately. You never suspect once that the guy who keeps going out and finding dead people is a murderer.
He's got something wrong. All right. Wouldn't it be great if the ending of this movie was that was the case the entire time?
I know he's got some frogs in his pocket. Let's go.
Yeah. There's your M. Night Shyamalan moment right there.
Oh, what an improvement to the film.
I agree.
And it'd be like near Willard, too. So
it's amazing. Like this awesome killer is just gathering up all the animals and putting them in their little cages and then just walking away to go on to the next place he's going to murder people.
Yeah.
That should be the frogs we should have saw.
Should have mentioned the guy that died of spiders and moss. The best part about his death was how he got to the ground, which was shooting himself in the leg like a complete dumbass. And this is the sound of that happening. The way he did it.
I love how you always catch that.
I love every, that kind of stuff.
Every episode, you catch some crazy scream.
I love the screams. He has been asphyxiated.
He's been asphyxiated.
I just want to hear freaking Sam Jackson. Samuel L. Elliott. Just kidding. I like to hear him say things like this.
He's been asphyxiated.
It's like they made him. It sounds like one that he finally got it right after 20 takes.
Right.
Like, good job. It's no longer asphyxiated or whatever the hell he's
in. He's asphyxiated.
He's asphyxiated.
Asphyxiated.
Now, Sam, we're going to try it one more time, but this time I can totally hear
it. Got it.
Clint, death in the water. So here's Clint going down.
Wow.
Clint did not do well.
Clint, that's the brother, right?
Yeah, that's the brother. That's the sister lover. Mm. That's him. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's totally great.
Off scene deaths also. Jesse got ate by his live shrimp. I think that had to happen. Jesse's groceries.
Right. You mean I'm not going to sing it again?
Come on.
Clint died in the water. I did that. Okay. You guys, I already know the answer to this, but if I was to ask you three cold, did you ever want to hear what it sounds like when a frog stops a record player?
Yes, I would.
You'd say yes, absolutely we would. Well, here it is. 6 seconds. It is a frog stopping a record player. Oh, that ain't it. Sorry. Here's a frog stopping a record player. There you go. Pretty good, right?
That was awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
During the national anthem for Albania, I think. Yeah. Right.
Olympic fever.
I love that stuff. And then finally, I save this to the last. What does the sound of a stuffed fish make? Here is the sound that it makes. That's what they showed.
When they showed the mounted fish, was the noise?
That was the noise the fish made.
It's a flipper.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Oh my gosh. That's so dumb. They couldn't have just, what could they have done? Maybe just not show the fish.
Or not show the fish, not do the sound. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You need to that's terrible. All right, well, that's it for your clips, which means time for your awards. Where is it? There it is. Hooray for Hollywood. Yes, hooray for Hollywood indeed. This film has earned a few awards from the National Committee. The humidity of chlamydia. And the awards that the film sack affords them is this. They make you wait way too long before people start dying award. Mm-hmm. Easily runs away with that this year. Also, the nobody looks good in a white jumpsuit award. And also the frog abides award. Good job there, Sam Elliott.
The frog abides.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. You put that on your mantelpiece. Trek stuff this week.
Makes me feel pretty good to know that he's out there.
I like that your version of Sam Elliott is also a little like, what's going on, rabbit? The turtle that beats the rabbit. That was pretty good.
Foghorn Leghorn or something.
Yeah. Let's see. These are the Trek connections as sent to us by Daryl Skeels, the Trek nerd. Rusty Meek, assistant director on the original series. He was first assistant director in all the odd-numbered episodes of the second season. That's weird. Elliot Schick, production manager on TOS. Adam Rorick. He played Clint. On the original series, he played Chief Garrison, communications officer in the pilot, The Cage.
Wow.
That Clint was in The Cage, you guys.
Right.
Jeez. Way to go, Clint. I wonder if in The Cage, if he ever said anything quite like this. Now I can't find it. Well, then that's just great. Never mind that. Oh, there you go. Red shirt till the end. All right, let's move on to soundtrack grade. I'd give it a B for Totally Broken. I thought it was terrible.
What? Yeah, what was that? It was weird.
No, it sucked. It was bad. I understand it was the time. Like, we've run into a bunch of movies where even some really good composers have put together bad synth soundtracks.
Right, right.
I've got my new Moog synthesizer.
Must use all settings.
At once, yeah.
It's also a variation on that turtle, which is great. I love that voice that you do. You should keep doing that one. What's going on, rabbit?
No, that wasn't supposed to be Sam Elliott.
Oh, gotcha. So let's move on to a Twitter post. 120. Boy, they really shrunk it. 140 characters or less. What you guys thought of the film. Let's start this time, as we always do, with Randy.
Frogs. Surprisingly interesting. For a movie that had almost no frogs in it whatsoever, I was riveted.
Oh, riveted. That's awesome.
Perfect. I can't follow that.
I need wow. I was in the mood for a poopy pun. That was fantastic. Also, Brian Dunaway.
Frogs, all the sensibilities of a Steven Seagal nature film, but with frogs instead of Eskimos. Sam Elliott is naked from the neck up, and she has crabs.
Eskimos.
The lady who had died, and she had crabs all over. I had to say it while I was sitting by myself.
Oh, that's right. There were crabs. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, she has crabs.
Yeah, yeah, nice one. I'd watch a movie where the Eskimos rose up and took out everybody. I'd watch that. Make more sense than this stuff. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Frogs! Oh my God, run! Wait, do you have to run to escape them? No, walk briskly!
Very nice. Well, here's what I learned while you hired Satan's nephew to write your soundtrack. Even the moss is after the people.
Right.
Grandma needs to wear a bra. She had a couple moments there where I was like, whoa, nipple, turn off the high beams. What are you doing?
Those butterflies back in their cage.
Yeah, that's right. That's very nice. Also, don't know about you, but my family always kept huge jars of poison in the greenhouse. And finally, do not eat that cake. It had frogs walking all over it.
Exactly.
That was gross. God. That's what I learned. Let's get to an email. Email sent to us by Tito. Tito. So one of the Jackson Five, finally letting us know how things are going.
Did he get the kids?
Yes. And he got the mansion and everything else. Energy sacking, emergency sacking needed is his subject. Hello, Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian. Hot dog. The movie is on streaming.
Oh, yeah.
He says, yeah. I think it is your moral imperative for you to sack this snow-filled poo. I watched it once in my adolescence, and it's definitely not the movie I remember. It should be called Hot Dog, the Trope. Love the show. Can't wait for the next episode, Tito.
Yeah, it satisfies our ski movie that we've been wanting to do forever.
Yeah, we have.
We've been wanting one.
Well, we've talked about it, how we've never had a ski spoofy something, ski movie, action or otherwise, right?
How many
ski
of them,
spoofy.
I mean, how many of them can you think of?
Well, I mean, you could go serious, like James Bond has a good ski scene.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
There's plenty.
We could have done like Better Off Dead or
you'd consider that Time Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Except I was thinking
we were going to start doing those.
We usually aim for non-comedies, but that one might work. Hot Dog might work.
Right. Let's put it this way, Ibbit.
Slopes.
Yeah.
Right. Ski Magazine on the internet has, I typed in ski movies. Ski Magazine has 100 best ski movies. That's how many there are.
Wow. All Warren Miller.
Yeah, they're all documentary slow-mo jobs, aren't they?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's all Warren Miller stuff, which is great.
I don't know. There's one that starts off. It's called Ski Wolf.
Ski Wolf.
I don't know.
I'm in.
Warning, does not contain skiing or a wolf.
Oh, my gosh. There's a movie with a werewolf on the front, and he's skiing, you guys. That is the truth.
I just put a link to the...
No, he was not kidding. Ski Wolf.
No. Okay. Serious as can be, wearing a checkered tie from the 80s.
Yeah,
come on.
So it's like Teen Wolf, but...
But skis.
Hairy palms are the least of his problems. Oh, my God. That's not a real thing.
Just on streaming, Ski Patrol, Ski Party, Ski School 2.
Okay.
Ski.
Avalanche is streaming.
Yeah. Avalanche would be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a disaster movie. We like those on the show.
Yeah.
All right. We'll consider you and your suggestion as well as other ski movies. We'll figure out the best thing to fit here on the show. So your emergency will just have to wait, Tito. Go back to living off your ABC money.
Aww.
I know. Whatever.
Also, when I searched for ski movies that are streaming, it suggested that I watch the Tommy Tiny Lister Anthony A.J. Johnson film Knocked the F Out.
Wow.
Nice.
That also sounds good. Let's watch that. That sounds fantastic. Right. I'm not going to play all. I'm going to play the rest of the Scott Fletcher stuff here toward the end of the show, but I really want you guys to hear this one. So it's this Kermit bit. All right. So hold on a second. Here it is right here.
You better watch out, mister, or I'm going to kick your ass.
That's pretty good.
That's correct.
Not bad.
All right. Next up, next week, we have Big Hot Red Mexican Rubber Neck and Summer Blue Dart.
Can't wait.
Wow. Otherwise known as Big Wet. Really, what is it?
No, wet hot American summer.
Wet Hot American Summer.
The hipster movie that Scott can't wait to watch.
You know what? I don't even know if I've changed my mind. It's not a hipster movie at all.
Really? It's got Janine Garofalo.
It does have her.
She's a hipster.
It's if I misunderstood your pronunciation and you actually meant to say shitster, I'm totally agree. It's pretty bad.
Paul Rudd and Janine Garofalo. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you'll all hear next week what we thought of this, but it's streaming now. It's Wet Hot American Summer. Right?
Summer. Mm-hmm. All right. Written by the state's what's his name?
Mike Showalter.
Showalter. That's
the state or the slate? Oh, the state.
The state, not the slate. The state. The MTV sketch comedy troupe. Right. Who went on? They went on to do some other cool stuff. Reno 911 is great. Freaking what's his name was on Batman. This last Batman movie. He's right in the middle of that thing as a doctor. It's like, holy cow! Look how far you've come, buddy. But yeah, we'll see how it holds up or what it is. I think a lot of people missed it. I don't think it was.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's also got Christopher Maloney, you know, the guy from Law and Order.
Yeah, he may have stolen the movie. He may have just stole the whole thing. That's my hint I'll give for next week, is that he may have stolen the film.
I think Michael Showalter would, or I should say this the other way around, collegehumor.com. He's in every other video on that website. I don't know if that site could exist without Michael Showalter.
Oh, okay. Well, see. Maybe he's one of the founder dudes of that.
I love Showalter. He's awesome.
He's all right. He's okay. You'll see next week what we all think of that thing that came out in 2001.
Right. All I know is I can't believe all the technology we have during the 70s and we can't kill the frogs.
I know. Won't happen. On that
or
note,
the moss.
Yes, or the moss. On that note, let's get out of here. Thank you all for being here. That's another episode of FilmSack. Go to FilmSack.com to get the show notes for this episode, links to things we talked about in the show, and all of our past episodes, as well as our links to our forums and everything else. Fantastic forum community continues to thrive and jive over there on the forums. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We may just read it on the show. Follow us on the Twitter. You'll find out when new shows go live and other cool stuff at filmsack.com. Nope, sorry, Twitter. That's at Twitter. That's at FilmSack. Thank you very much. Leave us a review on iTunes. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Feedback punch.
I still believe man is the master of the world.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.